Because faith comes through hearing the message of Christ, this sermon has been uploaded for you by Grace Unlimited, a ministry that functions out of Living Hope Church, Pretoria, South Africa. We want Jesus Christ to have first place in everything in our church, and we want to help you know and follow Jesus in all of life, and to help others do the same. Find out more or download many more free sermons at graceunlimited.co.za or livinghopechurch.co.za.
Good morning, everyone. It is great to be with you this morning, and it's a wonderful time. We get together again, surrounding ourselves with getting closer to God's Word. I want to say a special welcome to anyone that is with us that's maybe not from Living Hope, joining us from all over the world or even from the country. And so it's great to be with you this Sunday morning. Also, just want to say thank you to Donovan for the announcements, and thank you to Blake for doing the prayer guide each week. That's so helpful to us as we work through this worship time together. And then also want to say a special thank you to our worship team. I don't think you guys always realize how much work and effort goes into putting those songs together on a Sunday. So a special thank you to Hamilton and Alan and the whole worship team that do so much work every Sunday to put those songs for us together so we can continue to worship God. All right. Well, today we want to study God's Word because we want to know how to deal with our anxieties. We do live in uncertain times. And a lot of people get anxious. And so to do that, we need to go to God's Word. And so if you have your Bible, please turn to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippian church. And we're going to spend our time in chapter 4. And to help us get some context, I want to read to you from chapter 4, from verse 1 till the end of verse 9. So turn to Philippians 4. And we'll read from verse 1 till the end of verse 9. Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life." Verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything in excellence, where there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And the God of peace will be with you." All right. Now, I saw just a couple articles even this week from the newspaper, even a local newspaper here in Pretoria. And one of the headlines reads, "High levels of anxiety, worrying during lockdown. Paramedics and emergency services had to receive increased reports of suicides during the lockdown." In another report, SADAG, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, a group that provides telephone counseling, says its call volumes have soared from about 600 a day to almost double. They say many of those callers have lost their jobs, are anxious about their future, or they are struggling to handle isolation. Well, it is no secret. This is the current situation we are all living in right now. Now, that maybe you Maybe you yourself can relate to feelings of worry and anxiety. Because it's such a natural response for us, is it not? When we don't have things in our control and over everything that goes on around us. For some people, to worry is as natural as breathing. But as we will see again today, God doesn't want us to be worried. And in fact, He wants us to have peace. Peace in any and every storm that might come our way. And if you are a true Christian, you will know what I'm talking about. This peace, this inner calmness of the soul that comes from a deep, trusting relationship with God. Now we saw last week that we are to have this wartime mentality. That while we are waiting for Jesus to come back, we need to be on our knees, praying, alert to the spiritual and physical dangers that are around us. But the amazing thing is that God actually wants to give us peace of mind and heart as we face the difficulties of life. But you will agree with me that as we listen to everything that goes on around us in the media, we are constantly being told how we should think and how worried we need to be. And whatever goes into our minds, what consumes our thinking, has a direct impact on what you feel, what you say, and what you do. You can't turn on your TV or listen to the radio or go on social media without being exposed to some negative impact this lockdown and this pandemic will have on your future. And it's almost like everyone, I mean, scientists, economists, government, your friends, and even your family is telling you in one way or another how you need to be worried. What if the economy crashes and I don't have a job? What if I can't pay my rent at the end of the month? What if my child is not able to finish school this year? What if I can't finish my degree? What if I get infected and I spread this disease to my family? Or what if someone I know dies? And if we allow ourselves to be guided and influenced by all these kinds of thoughts, it is no wonder that there's such an overwhelming increase in depression, sleepless nights, panic attacks, and as we've read, even suicides. But we all can understand that some of these challenges are very real. And so today I want us to talk about how we can avoid anxiety and worry and get back to that experience of God's divine peace. Because maybe you don't have that peace right now, but you desperately want it. And so Paul is going to show us that in order to not be anxious about anything, we need to go to God in prayer with thankfulness so that we can experience His divine peace. So let me give you an outline of where we're going today. If you are going to appropriately fight anxiety in your life, you need to understand the problem to avoid. This is verse 6a. The problem to avoid. Philippians 4 verse 6a. Secondly, the prayer to be given. This is the second half of verse 6. And thirdly, the peace to be received. The problem to avoid, the prayer to be given, and the peace to be received. Let me just read that text for us again. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Well, consider with me just for a moment where Paul is and what is going on with him when he's writing this letter. Because believe it or not, he is on lockdown as well. He's in prison, isolated. The missionary man who has been traveling all over the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ, now locked down, waiting to hear the fate of his future. Chained to a Roman soldier. And as all of this is going on, he's writing and he's essentially living what he's preaching. A man with genuine peace in his own heart. Not worried about his own circumstances, but instead looking to encourage the Philippian church. And this church actually sent him some support. We see this in Philippians 4:18. And one of the reasons Paul writes this letter was to thank them, to show his genuine gratitude for their love gift. This is an incredible response from Paul, because no matter his circumstances, he still has joy, peace, and gratitude. And he expects the Philippian church and us today to have that same perspective. He gives a list of quick exhortations in this section. If we look back down at the text, starting in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." He says we need to be considerate of others, be known for being reasonable, because God is close to us. And then we get to our two verses here, verses 6 and 7. And it is here that Paul is going to help us know how to handle circumstances that might cause us to worry and get anxious. And to do that, we first need to understand the problem to avoid. The problem to avoid. Now, most medical professionals or biblical counselors will tell you that in order to find the real solution to your problem, you need to understand what the root cause actually is. What is going on deep inside your heart that is causing you to be worried? Paul is pretty straightforward with this command. Do not be anxious about anything. Literally, the command is, stop being anxious. But what does it mean to not be anxious about anything? Because anxiety is something that is so common, especially in times of trouble. Well, John Piper, he helps us think about this definition for anxiety, and he puts it like this. He says, anxiety is an intense desire for something accompanied by the fear of the consequences of not receiving it. Let me read that again. Anxiety is an intense desire for something accompanied by the fear of and the consequences of not receiving it. In other words, I want something very strongly, and if I think I'm not going to get it, fear and panic and stress sets in. And typically, the desire is usually for something we really value. I mean, it could be relationships, your children, money, your health, your future. But worry comes in when we imagine what could go wrong in any of these areas. And then we start to have these emotions of distress and we start to panic. Emotions that take over our thinking of what really is true. Now, when thinking about anxiety, it is important that we notice that in the Bible, we find that there's a difference between good anxiety and a bad kind of anxiety. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if we turn back to Philippians 2 and verse 20, Paul puts it like this. He says, "For I have no one like him," and he's talking about Timothy here, "who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare." I mean, that word concern in the original language is merimnaho. And the same word for anxiety is used by Paul in our text in Philippians 4. Paul is saying that, look at the example of Timothy, who has a genuine anxiety, a positive sense, for the good of other people. Well, another example is found in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. Paul there writes, he says, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care. And that word care is the same word merimnao in the Greek. Again, in this context, it's a positive anxiety and concern that's directed towards the good of others, and specifically here, a unity in the church. And so, you might look at these examples and think, well, it must be okay then if I'm anxious for other people. Well, that is not actually true, is it? Because even though I might not be anxious about anything for myself, I can still be sinfully anxious for others. I mean, this made me think of all the babies we have at the baby home. I mean, it's a genuine care that we have for and concern that we have for these babies. And we want to see them adopted and placed within a family, and we can do everything we can, but there are some real challenges with that process. The temptation then is there to become sinfully anxious when a baby is in our care for more than a year when he's only supposed to be there for 90 days. And we so desperately want to see them in a family. Well, how do I know the difference then? Because as soon as you have a lack of genuine peace, as soon as you start losing trust in God that He is in control of this situation, when your concerns start to strangle you, it is no longer a healthy concern. See, it is the peace of God that makes us content and remain joyful in difficult times. And even if we don't know what's going to happen and we've lost that peace and that joy, then my concern for myself and even for others have become a sinful concern. Because here's what's at the root of anxiety. It is not trusting God. It's not trusting God. It is a lack of faith that God is able to take care of this situation. In Matthew 6, verse 30, in the context of Jesus' own teaching on anxiety and worry, He said that it is because of a lack of faith that we don't trust God for our needs. Oh, you of little faith. Instead, you want to take matters into your own hands, and knowing that you actually can't do anything about it, you become sinfully worried, anxious, concerned. And you have this desperate feeling of having no control, and you don't know what will happen. But consider the opposite, the contrast, the good anxiety, because the good anxiety calls me to take action and be responsible and have a genuine concern for the real needs that are in front of me. But here's the thing, still trusting in the goodness and the total sovereignty of in the control of God. We need to be so careful of worry, because it doesn't just take our eyes off God. It can cause us to only look at ourselves and our own needs. If you have no concern for others, then who are you truly loving? I mean, I think of this time we're in now in our church, and we have a good concern for our members and how this pandemic is impacting their lives. And I'm thankful for how our deacons are helping us in such practical ways to care for our members. And if you really slow down and consider some of the needs we have, it can be pretty overwhelming. But these needs, they do not and they should not cause so much concern and anxiety that we start to think that God has forgotten us. Sinful anxiety is when I don't think God has got this covered. And basically, you're living as though God doesn't exist. As if He's not the all-sovereign ruler over every situation in your life. One commentator, he describes as well, he writes, "You might think of your worries as false prophets. They're telling you that God isn't good, He isn't sovereign, and He isn't wise." And if we become so focused on changing and controlling the future without God, then we allow our concerns to turn into a sinful kind of worrying. But what was going on with the Philippian church that they were so worried? That Paul even had to write this command of do not be anxious about anything. Well, they faced some threats from other people around them, and he instructs them not to fear their opponents. This is in chapter 1, verse 28. We saw this internal fighting going on as well, Philippians 4, 2 and 3. And Paul was wanting them to stop and be unified as God's people. They too were concerned for Paul being in prison and what might happen to him. This is Philippians 4, verse 10. And then we see down in Philippians 4, 19, it sounds like they were perhaps worried about God's provision. And so Paul tries to reassure them. And he says this, he says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in the glory in Christ Jesus." Now, if there is a good kind of concern or anxiety, then how can I know that I am sinfully anxious? What are some obvious signs of sinful anxiety? Well, let me just give you a few. Is there a lack of peace in your life? Is there a lack of joy in your life? Do you get annoyed with other people? Do you have unusual mood swings? Do you even suffer from high blood pressure? Do you struggle to concentrate for a long period of time with your thoughts going all over the place? Are you gaining a lot of weight? Is there a lot of comfort eating going on right now? Or perhaps you've entirely lost your appetite. Do you struggle to sleep? Are you constantly tired? Do you have shortness of breath? And do you break out in cold sweats? Because the problem with anxiety is that it influences us mentally, spiritually, and physically. And this doesn't mean we have to live like robots and have no emotions and just suppress the realities of our situation and pretending they're not real. Because yes, some concerns are positive. This good anxiety calls us to take action and perform our responsibilities. I mean, if you're a student, for example, and you're worried about certain deadlines you have, it makes you get up and do the work and prioritize and be faithful and trust God for the strength to do the work. But negative worry is different. It does not trust God. And so we need a much bigger view of God. If your concept of God is right and you see Him as the one who owns your life, Psalm 24 verse 1, who controls your life, Psalm 27 verse 1, who provides for your life, Psalm 145 verse 15, and He does all of that as your loving and gracious Father, then let me just remind you of the words of Jesus Himself again in Matthew 6. Because Jesus said that if God will provide for the flowers and animals, will He not provide for you? Jesus said, worry is pointless. You don't control the day of tomorrow. God does. Jesus said, sinful worry is something unbelievers do. Your testimony is important. Jesus said, God knows your needs more than you do. And He also said that God will provide for all of your needs if what? If we seek first the kingdom of God. We need to understand how serious the problem of sinful anxiety and worry really is. And try and see it from God's perspective. I mean, it's like a father. For the last 10 years, he's been taking his children to school every day. Now imagine what it would be like if those kids get in the car and every day they're like, oh, are we going to make it to school? Are we going to make it? It's the same with God. We are doubting God will take care of us even though He has been doing it since the very day you were born. I mean, the gospel has something dramatically to say to this sinful kind of worrying. One man puts it like this. He says, Christians who worry believe God can redeem them, break the shackles of Satan, take them from hell to heaven, put them into His kingdom, and give them eternal life. But they just don't think He can get them through the next couple of days. That is pretty ridiculous. We can believe God for the greater gift and stumble and not believe Him for the lesser one. So in one sense, we're saying we can trust God for eternal salvation, but God, I can't trust You for my daily needs. It is a lack of faith and trust in God, and if that's the core problem, how do we deal with it? How do we get back to this place of peace and trust in God? Because the world has its own way of dealing with anxiety. What are some common suggestions? Well, exercise more. Try yoga. Take a pill. There's so many pills these days. Try meditation and deep breathing. Or someone might just say, well, stop worrying. Just stop worrying. Now, you can do all these things, but they won't deal with the core problem. We should rather think of worry as a thief, a thief who wants to break in and rob you of your joy and trust in God. And it's not just enough to say, stop worrying or go for a run. Why? Because worry is an internal problem. And it's going to take more than just good intentions or exercise or yoga to deal with this core issue. So let me ask you, is there anything that is making you concerned and anxious right now? Can you specifically write that down? Is there anything that is keeping you up at night? And if there is, how are you dealing with it? Because not only is anxiety a problem we should avoid, God's word teaches us here that there's one essential cure, and it is prayer. Not only is anxiety something that should be avoided, to find relief, there's a kind of prayer to be given. Number two, the prayer to be given. Verse 6b. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, you see, Paul didn't just give us the command, do not be anxious, and left us hanging and not know how to deal with our anxieties. Because it's clear from this next word, but, that we know what we are to do next. Instead of worrying, be praying. Paul says that peace comes through prayer. And in this context, our prayers will be directly impacted by the things that we worry about. So notice with me, he says firstly that we should pray about everything, but in everything by prayer. You see, it's such a great contrast that Paul gives us here. He says anything and everything. We are not to worry about anything, but rather pray about everything. Every single one of the things that might take away your peace from God. Now, if you had to make an honest list of what is making you anxious, you know, how am I going to pay my bills at the end of the month? Or I need to go for surgery next week. My spouse and I are drifting apart and I'm not sure how my marriage is going to make it. I'm anxious someone will break into my house and hurt my family. Or as you look at your calendar, you're so busy and you're anxious about how are you going to get everything done. Paul wants us to take every one of those things and bring it before God. Now, if you look down at the text again, you will see that Paul uses four different words that helps us understand what this kind of prayer should look like. He says prayer, then he talks about supplication, thanksgiving, and request. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, request. Each of these add some dynamic to the kind of prayer we need to appropriately deal with the worries we have. But let me also say that this is more about a lifestyle of prayer and not some sort of magic trick of getting God to do what you want Him to do. It's about genuine dependence on God. And we see this with this first word, prayer. Prayer is the big idea. Prayer is the picture of coming into the presence of God, face to face with your Heavenly Father. And you wanted to talk with Him and praise Him and worship Him. When you think of prayer in this sense, you think of Jesus' teaching about the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. You think of His earnest prayer in Luke. Let not my will be done, but yours instead. But then here also in Philippians, Paul then adds this second word, supplication. Supplication. Now supplication sounds like a strange word. Another word for supplication is petition. And we see this word highlights the urgent sense and the extent of the need you have. It indicates what you're lacking. Because it is usually in the areas where we lack something that we create feelings of stress and worry. This is not half-hearted, insincere prayer. It is rather a sense of urgency, earnestness, and intensity. Because the longer we dwell on what makes what we think and what we're lacking, these anxious thoughts that we have over and over, the more it corrupts our worship and our prayer and our trust in God. I mean, I like coffee. I'm sure you do too. But coffee, if left all day to brew in the pot, it gets bitter. And good thoughts like good coffee can become bitter thoughts if we dwell on them all day. Thoughts that lead to worry and anxiety. And so instead, Paul wants you to slow down and pray. Pray knowing your needs, casting all your burdens on God. Because listen how the Apostle Peter says it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, he says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." You see, we need humility to recognize that we need God on a daily basis. Peter is instructing us that we need to cast all our anxieties on God. Big, small, it doesn't matter. And we take all these burdens that we carry and we give them to God. I mean, think about carrying this weight, this backpack, and you're trying to go to bed at night, but you've got this massive backpack on your back. Do you think you're going to get any good sleep done? Probably not. Rather, God wants you to take that off and give it to Him. Give it to Him. Because He's the one who knows all things. He's your marriage counselor, your financial manager, your health consultant. Whatever it is, take it to God in prayer. Psalm 55, verse 22 puts it like this. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." To be free of the cares of this world, you have to cast all your burdens on the one and the only one that can truly sustain you. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers, he puts it like this. He says, "There is no more blessed way of living than a life of dependence upon the covenant-keeping God. We have no cares, for He cares for us. We have no troubles, because we cast our burdens upon the Lord." Worry is carrying a burden God never intended us to bear, because He is always the one who is in control. But perhaps you are praying, and you're praying with the details that are concerning you, and you still feel this weight of anxiety. Well, I think it is here that we see next, and a very important aspect of the kind of prayer that is needed to relieve us of our anxiety. We are to bring everything to God in prayer and supplication, but with thankfulness. Pray with thankfulness. One of the things that you see in unbelievers is the lack of gratitude they have toward God. Paul, again, he wrote this in Romans 1:27, because he says, "For although they knew God," talking about unbelievers, "they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." But Christians, on the other hand, because of the gospel, we have every reason to be the most thankful people in the world. Do you believe that? You see, where supplication identifies what we need, thankfulness identifies what we already have. It is so easy to forget how good God has been to us and what we have received already, especially in times of trouble. The very practice of saying thank you, you know what that shows? It shows that someone else did something for you. You know what the Bible calls that? It calls it grace. Grace. Think about the gospel. Think about how much you and I have been forgiven in Christ. Because this will strip you from feelings of entitlement. I deserve this. Selfishness. I want this. Complaining. I demand this. Or discontentment. I want that instead. Many of you saw the video perhaps of going around on social media of this lady who was living in tough conditions, and she didn't have much, but one thing she did have was a very grateful attitude toward God. She said, and I quote, "I thank God for the food he gives. And if he decides not to give me food, that is okay. He is still good." Is that your attitude? So instead of coming to God, being discontent and unhappy about what is happening in your own life, we are to change our attitudes even before we make our request to God. Thankfulness is an attitude of the heart. Thankfulness should be part of our DNA as Christians. Look at Paul, how Paul puts it again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." See, we have those similar themes again. Joy, prayer, thanksgiving. But here notice how Paul says, in all circumstances, in good times and in bad times. Or Colossians 3:15 perhaps. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." And then what? "And be thankful." Again, the opposite of anxiety is peace from God that goes along with unity and thankfulness. But as Christians, reflecting on who God is and his goodness and what he has done for you in Jesus will change the way you pray. "Count your blessings," the psalmist would say. Psalm 9, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds." See, one great hindrance to thankfulness is what? It's pride. Pride. Wanting things to go my way, not wanting to depend on someone else. And thankfulness and pride, they don't go together. And so Paul, right here in this moment, he is directing our minds and our hearts to humility, submission, and gratitude as we come to God and giving him our cares. And what are some obvious reasons to be thankful? Are you thankful that God is close to you and with you every moment of every day? Are you thankful that he cares for you? Are you thankful that he is making you more like Jesus through every trial? Are you thankful that he wants you to bring all your burdens to him? Are you thankful that there is nothing that happens that is not under his control? Even the devil is under his control. Are you thankful that he will supply you with all your needs? And are you thankful that he has paid the price for every sinful, anxious thought that you have ever had and will have? That is gospel good news. And that brings us to this final word of this section on prayer. This final word is request. This word helps us to see the specific way we need to pray about our concerns. Instead of just having an attitude of God knows what's going on and I don't have to spell it out for him, a 5-second prayer or some details here and some details there, God wants you to come to him with specifics. He wants you to slow down and spend time with him in prayer. Think of the very things that is causing you to be anxious. List them one by one. Think about what you need. Think about what you have. And then bring those specifics to God. And then by faith, we will receive the peace that he promises us. Number 3, the promise to be received. This is where it really gets good. He says, and the peace of God, verse 7, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, to deal with something that is so natural to us, anxiety and worry, God promises us something that is supernatural. His divine peace. Now, there are a few things that we have to notice about this kind of peace from this verse. First, it is of God. It is of God. The Bible teaches us that God himself is peace. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Let me read that. Paul writes again, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." It is the very essence of his nature. And because it's part of who God is, this divine peace, it is different from any other form of human peace. Human peace is temporary and it doesn't last. God's peace is constant and it's a perfect peace. Because God is an infinite God and he has an infinite amount of peace. Now we might cut off this constant supply of peace when we take our eyes off the Lord, but this peace is always available. I mean, I might flip the switch and the light might come on, but when you turn the switch off and the light goes off, the supply is still there. It is when we take our eyes off God that we live in darkness and chaos. Isaiah 26 verse 3 puts it like this. He says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." All divine peace belongs to God, and he's the only one that can give it to us. So you need to come to him in prayer. But secondly, because it's divine peace, look at what it does. It surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense to this world. Now, notice that Paul doesn't say this kind of thankful prayer will keep us from having problems. Instead, it is when we pray with thankfulness and taking our burdens to God that we will receive this divine gift of peace, especially when life is hard. It doesn't matter when your prayer is answered or and maybe in a completely different way than you expected. God promises that he will give you the supernatural divine peace that takes away your anxieties. And one reason it is so amazing and unexplainable is that you can have this kind of peace when it doesn't make sense to have it. I mean, I'm talking about being cool, calm, and collected when everyone around you is in a state of panic. God gives this gift of peace to his children, those who come to him in prayer. And therefore, part of your Christian witness and the way you make the gospel look beautiful and attractive to the world around you is by the way you respond to troubles in your life. Do you have this supernatural peace that comes only from God? Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said again in Isaiah 57 verse 21. He says, "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." See, in this context, Isaiah is saying that those who do not come to God will not have peace. One of the old Puritans, Thomas Watson, he helps and he explains. He says, "The wicked, they may have truce, but no peace. God may forbear their wickedness for a while and stop the roaring of his cannon, but though there be truce, yet there is no peace." If you are not a Christian and you want this kind of peace that surpasses all understanding, you need to humble yourself. Repent of your self-sufficient pride and put your faith and trust in God, in the finished work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because it's only through a personal, saving relationship with Jesus Christ, what the Bible calls the Prince of Peace, that you can come to know and experience this true inner calmness of the soul. If you're not a Christian, Jesus has something to say to you in Matthew 11, 28. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." If you're not a Christian, I'll be straight with you. You need to be worried. You need to be very worried because you have a much bigger problem and with much bigger consequences than any pandemic or worldwide lockdown. And maybe you're tired of all the feelings of anxiety and worry. Maybe you recognize that you're trying to do all of this on your own. Turn to Jesus. There is hope for you because of Jesus. But for those of you who are Christian, and you might be struggling with anxiety, there's great hope for you as well. See, as Christians, we don't only have peace with God because of Jesus. This verse tells us we also receive the peace of God because of Jesus. And we fight our anxiety with God's promise of peace through dependent, thankful prayer. You have to trust God for His promises that He will actually give you this unexplainable peace when you pray. It's going to require faith. Because thirdly, look at what this peace does. This peace, Paul says, it will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now remember again, Paul he's in prison and he's being guarded by a Roman soldier. But he had the peace of God that was guarding his heart in even a more significant way. In a way that allowed him to still have joy, to be content, even though at any moment he might find out his life is over. This peace of God allowed him to have the perspective that for me, Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. As we empty ourselves with the burdens of this life and we cast them on God, we fill our minds with the peace of God that protects us from the anxieties of this life. It is when we are going to God in prayer that the peace of God stands like this military guard that watches over your heart and your mind and doesn't let trouble in. I mean, imagine it. You're walking through this war zone, this war zone of fighting, and this army of peace is surrounding you that protects you and allows you to keep your focus on Jesus. I heard of someone telling a story where his wife was constantly worried that someone might break into their house and steal something. She did this for almost 10 years. And one night they were sleeping and they heard a sound downstairs, and the husband stood up, he walked downstairs and he found the burglar. He was there. And do you know how he responded? He said, "Please, after 10 years, can you come up and meet my wife? She's been waiting for you." For 10 years, she's been robbed of this kind of peace. If you are someone that is constantly praying and living dependently on God, then you will be guarded against this thief, this enemy called worry, who wants you to doubt God's love, doubt God's power, and doubt God's care for you. And finally, notice again that Paul says this guarding and protecting happens what? In Christ Jesus. See, just after Jesus promised the disciples that He will leave them a helper, the Holy Spirit, back in John 14:26, He goes on to say in verse 27, He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This peace of God is divine. It surpasses all understanding. It guards our hearts and minds, and it does it through our union with Jesus Christ. I ask you again, do you have this peace? What burdens are you trying to carry on your own? The God who is King of this world, who knows the beginning from the end, who gave you that job in the first place, who gave you that business to own and run, who gave you those children to raise, who gave you that spouse to love, who put you in that school, who gave you your talents to use for His glory, is telling you to not be anxious about anything. But instead, in every concern you have, coming to Him in prayer. Prayer that knows what your needs are. Prayer that is thankful, that knows what you already have. Prayer that is specific, casting your burdens on God. And He promises that His unexplainable peace will flood your heart and your mind so that you can be a faithful Christian witness for Jesus Christ, trusting in God's goodness no matter what your circumstance. I want to close by reading you a lengthy quote here from Charles Spurgeon again. And this will be our application for this sermon. Listen to what he says. Cast your troubles where you have cast your sins. You have cast your sins into the depth of the sea. There cast your troubles also. Never keep a trouble half an hour on your mind before you tell it to God. As soon as the trouble comes, quick, the first thing, tell it to your Father. Remember that the longer you take telling your trouble to God, the more the peace will be impaired. The longer the frost lasts, the thicker the ponds will be frozen. Your frost will last till you go to the shining sun. And when you go to God, who is the sun, then your frost will melt and your troubles will dissolve. But do not be long, because the longer you are waiting, the longer will your trouble be hardening afterwards. Wait a long while till your trouble gets frozen thick and firm, and it will take many a day of prayer to get your trouble melted again. Away to the throne as quick as ever as you can. Do this in everything, in every little thing. Take them all to God. Pour them out at once. And soon, by an obedient practice of this command and everything, making known your wants unto God, you shall preserve that peace, the peace which shall keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Show me someone that is worried, and I'll just show you someone that is not praying. God wants us to come to Him with all our burdens. Cast your anxieties on God. He loves you so much, not only that He wants to listen to what you have to say, but He wants to take it from you and carry those burdens for you. And not only that, He wants to give you something in return, and that is His divine peace. Let us go to God now and thank Him for this encouragement from His word and knowing how to deal with our anxieties. Let's pray. Father God, we humble ourselves as we consider who we are talking to. We are talking to the Almighty Creator of absolutely everything. Father, we come to You now as we our hearts are full of cares of this world, of what's going on around us, and we want to bring them to You. And we want to slow down and think how thankful we are for the gospel, how thankful we are for Jesus Christ, how thankful we are that even right now, Jesus intercedes for us. That even right now, we know that You know the end of this story. That now we can bring all our burdens to You. The uncertainties of tomorrow. The uncertainties of what's going to happen with my business. What's going to happen with my children. What's going to happen with this relationship. We can bring them all to You, Lord. And in return, You give us Your peace. Your supernatural, mind-boggling peace that allows us to be faithful Christian witnesses of the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, make us a church that prays. Make us a people that do not run to the forms of the world to deal with our anxieties, but that we run back to Your precious and very great promises, that we would run to communing and talking with You, and that You would flood our hearts and our minds with Your peace. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, church. It's wonderful to be with you. I pray that God would really cement this truth through your heart this week, and have a wonderful Sunday with your family. God bless you.